Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show, alongside with the Bruins Cowboy, Mike Pinter, here on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO, Medford Touch Reform Radio. It's now 7:03. Hope you're having a safe drive home, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Thank you for making this show part of your evening commute and afternoon, wherever you may be in the country. What a day. First, the Patriots. And the typical Boston sports day until, wham! Red Sox get caught and implied in a cheating scandal. I'm sorry, what? Yeah! The Red Sox, Alex Cora, and the Red Sox, as part of the 2018 championship season, were implied to be involved in a cheating scandal. Oh, boy.
Similar to what Cora was involved in when he was the bench coach at Houston.
Isn't it quite a coincidence? He was with Houston when they were implied, or should I say caught, in the whole cheating scandal. And then, oh, by the way, in 2018, he's now the manager, and now the same thing here. Like, I gotta start off by saying the following, because this was first originally reported by Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic and as well as MLB on Fox Sports. Very credible reporter. So anything that's reported by him carries a significant amount of weight. And for the fact that the Red Sox were implied in this, it's just like, wow, are you kidding me right now? So, and according to Alex Speer, Red Sox columnist for the Globe, he wrote, Major League Baseball will launch an investigation into whether the 2018 Red Sox illegally used video replay feeds to steal signs during games. The plan to investigate comes in the wake of a report by The Athletic, as I aforementioned, Ken Rosenthal, in which three unidentified members of the 2018 Red Sox described in-game visits by players to the replay room, which at Fenway Park is located inside the batting cage area off the tunnel leading from the clubhouse to the dugout, to pick up the side sequences of opposing teams. Armed with that knowledge, according to the report, the players shared the information among teammates, thus allowing base runners to relay pitches to hitters. It's cheating, one member of the 2018 told The Athletic, quote, if you're using a camera to zoom in on the crotch of a catcher to break down the side system and then take that information and give it out to the runner, then he doesn't have to steal it. Now, upon reading this, there's already Red Sox fans using the excuse of, everybody does it, but you got caught. And the good old excuse of, everybody does it, does it make it right? No.
Nope.
You are now the second team. And oh, by the way, there's someone who is
a common denominator
in all this. Cora, you, sir, have some explaining to do. So, in a lot of people's minds, oh, by the way, the Astros have yet to receive their punishment from MLB for what they did in 2017. So I can only imagine. If something were to come down from the office of Robert Manfred, that the Red Sox, they're going to get their due share. So my question to you, Mike, is why? Why did they feel the need? They didn't even deny it. Here's the kicker. They didn't even deny it.
That's what I was going to say, because the first thing is not coming out and saying, we didn't do this or anything else. First thing they said is, We are going to cooperate
with the investigation, which says, guilty.
Please don't hurt us. We'll give you everything you need to know. We just don't want to get in trouble anymore.
Why? To the Red Sox, why?
You'd have to ask Cora. There is that person. There is your common denominator. Okay? This is the guy who, while he was working as a bench coach in Houston, was alleged, well, you have to say alleged.
Yeah.
Called for the same thing. And now,
uh-huh,
he's the He's the coach of the, you know, he's the manager for the Boston Red Sox.
Yep.
Now you're getting called for the same thing. There's got to be, I mean, me personally, I'd say Cora, you know, it's nice, dude, but, you know.
Come on.
I mean, you did good. We appreciate you winning for us, but, you know, at this point here, it's hard to defend someone when for two different teams you're accused of the same thing.
Right.
You know, one, you go to one team, and then you, if you have a clean record from there on out, then you could say, okay, well, maybe it was a misunderstanding. Maybe they didn't. Whatever it may be.
Sure.
But when you go from one team, and they fight, and they get you, and they haven't even given you their punishment yet, and you go to another
team. And that's the part that's even worse.
And you go and do the same thing. I mean, what do you think was going to happen, dude? You know, what you think they weren't going to check up on you on another team? I mean,
unbelievable.
You know, if you're on a team and they get called for something, that's going to follow you to every team that you go for afterwards.
And here's the part that I personally cannot believe, that we're at this point now in which that, as you mentioned, you were already implied in 2017 as being part of that whole scandal, which, by the way, Alex Speer continued on in the same column. I'm going to read this to you. The timing of the alleged infractions is significant. Since the Red Sox, check this out, were fined an undisclosed amount by Major League Baseball in September 2017 for using an Apple Watch to convey sign sequences from the replay room to the dugout. You were already caught once. Oh, my God. All right. To everybody in the Boston area, in Boston, and greater Boston, let me say this real quick. You were fined an undisclosed amount for cheating in September 2017 for using an Apple Watch to convey sign sequences. And now here you are, a year later, in 2018, in the midst of arguably the greatest Red Sox team of all time, 119 wins, you know, the team that beat the Dodgers in 5 games, you are now confessing that you cheated again. So let me get this straight. So you got caught in the cookie jar twice, not once, twice. Not only that, so you had your hands in the purse. So guess what happens now? You might have got stung by an innocent, you know, bobby pin that happens to be in there. And now you feel the sting, but this time this thing's gonna be worse.
Now it's gonna be a mousetrap.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds painful. And it should be painful. Because you know what? What the heck were you thinking?
I don't know the thinking of, well, I didn't get caught, I must be doing it right. So, but you know, even if that was the thinking, you already got caught.
You got caught once. Like, I mean, my goodness, you got caught once already. So how is it that in your arrogance and your own stupidity think that Major League Baseball wasn't going to turn an eye, like, wait a minute, you got caught already once already? Apple Watch scandal, Spygate?
And you think they would have learned from the Patriots that every other sports league is going to look at you because of what happened so publicly with the Patriots.
Which makes it worse.
They still did it again.
So let me get this clear. And this is going to be a byproduct of what the perception in the rest of America is now. Now, everybody started seeing it, especially for people down in New York. But that's what they do. They cheat. They're a bunch of cheaters. So why should we be surprised?
Exactly.
That's, oh, God. So you already opened that can of worms. So now when the Yankees come to town, guess what they're going to be doing? They're going to be taking that extra step of vigilance because I can't trust you. You are my bitter rival, but now, twice?
But like you just said, that's the perspective. Now, listen. Let's say the Celtics or the Bruins win.
Oh, my God.
It doesn't matter. It's going to be tainted because someone's simply going to say, Boston team won? Look at the record. They cheat, so I'm not surprised.
That's the thinking. That's exactly the thinking. It doesn't even help that Bruins and Celtics, they've never been involved in a cheating scandal. Never. So, but the Red Sox and Patriots were. So they must do it too. But in hockey, it's like, how do you cheat again? Please tell me. You have grown men blazing at fast speeds on ice sharp enough to kill you, trying to shoot pucks at 95 miles per hour into the back of your net. How do you cheat?
Well, they'll say the refs will pay it off because that call wasn't made. That call wasn't
If that's the case, you can blame the St. Louis Blues for cheating in 2019. I mean, if that's the penny route that we're going to take,
yeah,
you might as well.
But that's because you know what? When you go out there, and if they any of these two teams, like say Celtics or the Bruins go,
right,
and they do win and they put their hard-earned heart and soul into winning,
yeah,
someone always, some team somewhere along the line is always going to go back to it's New England or it's Boston.
Oh, God.
You already got two teams, you know. You know the old saying, tell me who you hang around with, I'll tell you who you are. That's the analogy my mother always gave me.
Guilty by association.
Exactly. Oh, my mother always used to preach that to me, and now I'm looking at it at the thing going, oh,
yeah, she was right. And the article continues, again, courtesy of the Boston Globe. The Red Sox issued their own statement, vowing cooperation. Quote, we were recently made aware of allegations suggesting the inappropriate use of our video replay room. The statement said, we take these allegations seriously and will fully cooperate with MLB as they investigate the matter. Quote, quote.
That's the kid that just got caught and he's trying to say, you know what, Ma, you're right, I did do it. So let's just give me my punishment, let's move on from this so I don't have to deal with it.
Except Alex Cora has something to say. Oh. Reached via text, Red Sox manager Alex Cora, who was interviewed by MLB regarding the Astros' sign-stealing practices in 2017 when he was Houston's bench coach, declined comment. Former Red Sox president and baseball of operations, Dave Dombrowski, said via text that he had no knowledge of any such sign-stealing behavior and that MLB has not contacted him regarding the matter. Quote, I never had any knowledge of any of this. Quote, Dombrowski wrote. So, okay. So on one hand, you vow cooperation, while on the other hand, your top two men in terms of the command chain, your manager and then your former president of baseball operations declined any knowledge or involvement or declined comments? Do you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, because they're waiting to say, I decline comment until I get my lawyer.
Right. So, how do you explain this to the casual fan who will be like, wait, what? You're saying this on one hand. On the other hand, you're like, I'm not going to say another word. Lawyer. Yeah. No. Not a word. Lawyer. No. I plead the fifth. 1, 2, 3, 4. Remember the Dave Chappelle skit?
Yep.
Of, like, I mean, there are things in life that you just learn through comedy. And this is a classic example of the sheer stupidity of the Boston Red Sox. Like, I mean, darn. I mean, how foolish can you be? So not only that, you got caught twice. Not once. Twice. In the same, oh my God, doing the same thing except this was worse.
Yeah.
You didn't even use Apple Watches.
Yeah.
That's the part. And you know what? I'm sorry. This is so outrageous that you know what? Screw it. This deserves this type of treatment.
For 7 years.
I plead the fifth.
Like, seriously?
Sir, will you tell us about the cartels you dealt with in your time as a crack cocaine dealer?
No, but I can tell you that I plead the fifth.
Exactly how much money did you earn in your time as a crack cocaine dealer?
There.
That's exactly what the rest of us are doing.
It is.
In in the Constitution of the United States of America.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You know,
Ryan's like, what do you have to say?
You got someone like Babe Ruth is probably rolling in his grave going, and all I did is sleep with women.
But Red Sox, what's your answer to that?
Two, three, four, five.
What do you have to say to that? Huh? Please explain to yourself, because I'm going to tell you something. Come open a day in 2.5 months.
Anything you say,
beep. What are you going to explain? You already have a lot hanging over your franchise right now in terms of
signing and, you know, some of those
signing
Jackie Bradley, seeing all that.
Wait. Signing who? Who are they going to sign when they're trying to get under the luxury tax threshold?
And now who are you going to sign when they start realizing, oh, you were part of that team?
Oh, by the way, they still try. Red Sox Nation, cover your ears. They were still rumors that they were trying to trade Mookie Betts to the Dodgers. No, there was. This was like a week ago, I believe it was. Yeah. A week ago. So there's that. Red Sox, what do you have to say for yourself?
Go ahead, ask me a question.
If this is where we are resorting to, then I can't help you. So tell me, what are you thinking?
A secret document that I think you need to say.
So what is the secret document? Tell me. What is this document? I'm out of words. If you're a Red Sox fan, you're screaming. Everybody does this. Why are we being singled out?
Because you got caught.
Exactly. You got caught. Not once. Twice.
It's like you have a speed trap out in the street. This happens all the time, and you get everybody, and turns around and goes, "Well, wait a minute. Why are you giving me the ticket? See all these people speeding?" And the cop goes, "Yeah,
you
I
got,
see
you,
them,
you,
but
I
caught
call you.
I caught you."
Oh my God. Oh man. What do you say?
Karma's probably asking about that severance package.
Oh, man.
I honestly, in regards to that, I don't know how much longer you can. As a guy, I liked him as a player. And as a coach, he's proven himself to a point. But now at this point here, what are you going to do? I'd say start looking.
Start looking. What other viable option do you have out there? If the Red Sox wouldn't even... And on top of that, you have a new general boss, quote unquote. And I'm talking about the president of baseball operations, the newly hired Chaim Bloom. What are you going to do? You already have a lot on your plate now, this? Welcome to Boston. And on that note, we're going to step aside for a few. But when we return, we're going to talk some Bruins, because we got to break up this whole... We've talked a lot about drama, cheating, and now the Bruins have a game in about 38 minutes against the Nashville Predators. We're going to talk some Bruins, so call in the show at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. You're listening to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO, Bedford, Touchfeed Farm Radio.
Thank you.
That was Another Planet by The Only Ones. And this is going back from 1978. As to how I know this, no, don't even ask me. I'm just one very strange individual. You know, but what do I know? but anyhow, it's Tuesday. Does it feel like Tuesday to you?
Not really.
No, it doesn't. No, not at all. But either way,
I'd rather it feel like a Friday.
I think we both are ready for that point, but oh geez. But what do I know? But what I do know is this. Is that
Bruins are getting set to play.
They're about to play in about a half hour, so we're going to take one more music break to collect our thoughts and our and our breaths, because oh my gosh,
this town is killing us.
Yes, oh so slowly, but I know the song just to get us back into the mood. You know, I'm in the mood for a little Baba O'Reilly, The Who. So enjoy. Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright alongside with the Brewers Cowboy, Mike Painter, here on the Shukri Wright Show, here at 91.5 FM, WMFO, Bedford, Touch Free Farm Radio. And before I forget, we have to do station identification and PSA, which is brought to you by 91.5 FM, WMFO, Bedford. So, stay tuned. We'll be back in a flash.
Hi, this is Mary Wilson of the Supremes. Hey, Boston! You're listening to 91.5 WMFO in Bedford.
So won't you hurry? Come on, boy, see about me.
See about me.
See about you, baby.
See about me.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve, it's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. Here on 91.5 FM, WMFO, Bedford. And we got 26 minutes left, which also means there's 26 minutes left until the Brewers take the ice. They're in Nashville tonight. Take on the Nashville Predators, who just fired their head coach yesterday, Peter Laviolette, and hired a guy who barely been without a job for 35 days, and John Hines, formerly of the New Jersey Devils. Your thoughts?
I like it. I do. I think they need to have something changed down there. You know?
Yeah.
Look, Peter, I mean, he's a volatile person, you know? Coaching style, you know, he's got his own way. But, you know, sometimes he just don't know when to keep his mouth shut either. I mean, that, you know, and I think, you know, a lot of times you'll say what everybody else is thinking, but sometimes you just shouldn't say it, too.
Yeah.
You know?
And you know, what's interesting is that he was only the second head coach in Nashville Predators history. The first one was Barry Trotz.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing was, and everything I was watching and been listening to of this season to the Predators, for a team that is this stacked in talent, you go out, you bring in the Matt Duchene, you add a guy like Kyle Turris, but then you add on the fact that you really have Philip Forsberg and as well as Ryan Johansson and so forth.
And your goal.
And then, I mean, honestly, you have issues in net. I mean, considering that Rene and Saros have combined for what I understand, an .890 save percentage. So it's like, you have all this talent, but you're also getting subpar goaltending.
Yeah.
At what point, what do you do? You need some kind of change that's going to spark up the group because, yeah, frankly, they have severely underachieved this season.
And if your team isn't doing it, you bench the person. You do something, you know?
Yeah.
And that's something that they weren't doing. You know, it was kind of like, you know, they turned a blind eye to it. You know, it'll get better. It's not going to get
better.
And it
hasn't gotten better because we're officially, for those who haven't been paying attention, we are officially past the halfway mark of the regular season now.
Yeah.
This is about to be, what, game number 44 tonight?
Yeah. All-star games, what?
It's in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Then that's it. You know, that's
it. Then they got the trade deadline and then the push for the playoffs.
Exactly. You know, and it depending on where you are, your team is, I mean, if you don't make these changes now, you know, you're going to get lost. You're not going to sneak in on the playoffs,
I agree.
But and that's where they've got to smarten up. I mean, you know, I mean, and to a sense, sometimes the Bruins do too, you know? I mean, something's got to be done with Krejci, in my opinion.
And here's the thing. We're going to talk about the Bruins now, in which I've had a concern the last couple of weeks in terms of this team. And I'm going to voice them again now, but this time with a bit more firmness that there is something very wrong with this team, especially mentally. Last time I checked, they were 2-11 combined in overtime and shootouts this season, which is by far and away the worst in the league.
Yep.
And what's even more concerning is that they haven't been playing well the last nearly 2 weeks now. I mean, their overall game as a whole, it's been concerning. And then on top of that, the issues that this team had a year ago at this time.
Yep.
The same, if not similar, issue that they're having again now. Who's going to fill up that top six forward spot?
Exactly.
You don't have an answer. So the question is, and I pose this to you, is if you're Don Sweeney and you have to start looking at who could potentially be available come the trade deadline next month, who do you go after?
They have been, I was reading today that they're looking to try to bring Justin Williams. I'm sorry.
I see
in your face, and I got the same thing. I'm looking at it, and I'm reading all today, and I'm going, Bruins are seeing interest in him, and I'm going, why?
He hasn't played at all this season.
Exactly.
What? Oh, my God.
You know, that, I mean...
Can the Boston Bruins look more than just a 37-year-old forward, soon to be 38, who hasn't played at all this season? Please.
They've brought in.
Oh my God.
This ownership is. When they brought in Recchi and it won them the cup because they needed it, that worked. It doesn't work anymore.
It doesn't work. It's not now. Not at this point. And that was a very different dynamic then.
Exactly.
Very different. This is a different dynamic now.
You got these players now. I mean, you watch them. They're not, flat out, my opinion. You used to say the big bad Bruins. No.
Not even close.
Not even close anymore. When you lost Thornton, you lost Lucic, you lost, you know.
Chris Kelly as well.
Chris Kelly, and you lost McQuaid. When McQuaid went, that was the absolute last of the person that you had to step up to anybody. Okay. Yeah. Now you don't have that. Your forwards, they're going to start getting hit because who's going to stand up and defend them? The only thing he got is Chara. I mean, and he's getting up there in age.
At some point, he's not going to be willing to step up anymore because let's be 100% honest. If you're the Bruins, and it pains me to say this, and I had a rant on the show not long ago, and I said verbatim, at what point do you say enough is enough and go out and get yourself someone who's going to protect your stars? Because frankly, my problem with this team now, and I feel like it's going to continue, especially as we get closer to the playoffs, is that teams are going to take liberty and make a run at guys like Krug,
yep,
Pasternak, McAvoy.
They're already taking shots at Pasta. They may start it.
I was saying that we're possibly the primary target because of what he is now.
Exactly.
So it's like...
And who's on your fourth line that's defending that? Who's your step up on that fourth line that's doing that?
Oh! Sean Corrali. No, he's not.
No, he's not.
Oh! Joachim Nordstrom.
No.
No, he's not. Brett Ritchie. Ritchie. That guy who for whatever reason, Cassie continues to put in the lineup, although he's playing like complete hot garbage. I want a Bruins fan to explain to me why on earth is he still being inserted into the lineup when he has contributed absolutely nothing, zero.
Push him down, call someone up.
No, put him down to Providence.
That's what I mean. Push him down, call someone up from Providence.
But Cassie hasn't even done it yet, which is maddening because it's like, he's giving you nothing offensively. Defensively, he's a liability. Like, wow. Okay. Wilson. returning back to the original point. They have no type of protection in their lineup. But David Backus, no. David Backus is not that guy.
No.
He's not that guy. Please get it into your heads. He's not that guy who can protect Pasta at this point.
And then people say, well, what about DeBrusque? No.
DeBrusque's not that guy either.
No.
So you want your young wingers who aren't fighters, who aren't enforcers, to take on a role that they're not accustomed to. Okay, makes perfect sense. Makes perfect sense. Because it's totally convenient. While it's a detriment to your team at this point. So what are we doing here? Brewers, what are we doing here? Like,
I mean, for the sake of argument right now, I mean, yes, we're going to have the All-Star break.
Right.
That'll give some of the guys to heal up. It's not giving Pasta time to heal.
No, not at all.
You know, you think your coach is going to be able to sit down and go through some stuff and go through some film and take time off? Nope, he's the coach for the Atlantic Division there.
Exactly.
So what are you going to do? You're going to leave it up to, what, someone like Bergeron to try to get, no, these guys need to rest.
They need it.
You know? And what happened to, the comments from the end of last year where it was, we're going to, we'll sit Chara some, so when it comes time for playoffs, he is good. That guy's still playing the most on the team.
Yeah, well,
where have you cut down on his time on ice?
You want to know what's bad?
Put it this way. The guy had to have plates removed from his cheek from breaking his jaw last year,
yeah.
And he only missed one game. That's it.
It's insane. Well, let me put it to you this way. I'm about to, I had to let out this sigh because this is about to further submit the point that you're making. You want to know what his time on ice average has been the last five games? You ready for this?
32 minutes?
No. Could be. The game against Buffalo in Buffalo on the 27th, 22 minutes and 16 seconds. The second game of the home and home, 22:55. At New Jersey on New Year's Eve, 27:50. January 2nd at home against Columbus, 17:14. And January 4th at home against Edmonton, 17:37. So, if you do the math, he's averaging darn near 20 minutes, if not just a tick above that.
Yeah.
Per night. And for a 42-year-old, and you talked about wanting to rest him and making sure that he's fresh for the playoffs. I know he's having a good season, especially for his age.
And the fact that he just, like we said, just had to have surgery the other day.
Right.
Well, last week.
Right. But how long is this going to last? How long is this going to reasonably continue? Because the truth is, the Brewers need toughness at the worst point at this point of the season. They need toughness. They don't have it. But Chara's not that guy. He's not going to be willing to continue to be that guy. And the fact that this team doesn't have those type of players where they're willing to stick up for each other like that.
No,
I mean the game against Washington at home that was December, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, I believe.
Yeah,
so.
that was December. When they were home against Washington, they were playing at home against Washington, where it was just like, really? Come on. Like, you basically let Tom Wilson take a run at your guys?
Yeah.
With little to no, and that was on the 23rd, like, with little to no retribution?
That's
a shame.
It is. It is, and you look at these guys, and you're first of all, you're resting all your plays on your top three.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There is three other lines that need to start stepping up.
Oh, for
okay?
sure.
And like you just said earlier, we've got the worst for the overtime or the shootout. That I mean, lately when you see them play, it's like they're playing just to get to that. You know, there is that, no more of that, I mean, they're blowing two-goal leads, they're letting everything just fall to the wayside, you know, or they're getting coming out, they're completely flat for the first, they somewhat, you know, step up a little bit in the second, and in the third, they end up doing the tie and then going into overtime. No, you have to go back to what the motto you had for the 2011 season, a full 60 to history. You need to play a full 60 minutes.
Yeah.
And they're not.
And they haven't.
They haven't. It's like they need a wake-up call almost every game.
And I'm telling you, that's
going
to burn you out.
And I'm not going for that for the first line, because they're always out there.
Right.
I'm talking about the rest of the team.
Yeah, the second or third or fourth lines. But the truth is, at what point does that message sink in? Because I don't get it. I really don't get it, where at what point is this really going to kick in? Because don't forget, you still got the dog days of March coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, by the way, speaking of March, here's your schedule. You got Tampa on the 3rd. You got Florida on the 5th. You got Tampa Bay at home on the 7th.
Yep.
You got Philadelphia in Philly on the 10th. You got Buffalo on the 13th. You're home against Toronto on the 14th.
Yep.
You at home against Columbus on the 16th. And oh, by the way, you have that good old Western Conference road trip, the 18th.
Yep.
In Anaheim, the 19th against the Kings, and then away, the day game. Oh, sorry, the day off, and then you got San Jose, a late nighter.
And don't forget, you still have Montreal coming in. You have the Red Wings coming in. You've got Dallas coming in.
Oh, boy.
You've got Toronto coming in. And Toronto,
yeah.
I mean, you can make all the jokes you want. You know, but Toronto's producing.
They're starting to play like they're capable of slowly, but they're still on the outside looking in. But they're not. It would be a mistake to write them off at this point.
Exactly. Like, exactly. Because they are producing.
Yeah.
You know, and they're coming up big when they need to.
And in the finish of March's schedule, you have the Red Wings on the 24th. You have Senators on the 26th. You have the Panthers on the 28th, and then you have the Carolina Hurricanes away on the 31st. So the point of going through the whole schedule is they essentially have a game almost every other day.
Exactly.
Almost.
And then when you're done with Carolina away, you're coming home on the 4th, and that's your final game home.
Yeah, Carolina. But before that, you also have your final away game of the regular season at St. Louis, at the defending Stanley Cup champions. So, yeah.
St. Louis, yeah, you know how that goes.
Yeah, so with that being said, it's just frustrating that at this point, if you're Don Sweeney, you have to be wondering, what are you going to do to add to this roster? Because if you want to try to sell me with the fact that what we have right now is enough to make another run for the cup, I'm sorry, the answer is a resounding no. It's not.
No,
it's not.
And at this point in the season, where you still maybe have a little time, call some of the kids up. Let them show you that they belong there.
Right.
You know? Oh, excuse me. And let them get something underneath, some time underneath them.
Right.
So when it gets to that point, they're ready to go.
Yeah, so it's one of those instances where if you're Don Sweeney, you have options, but you also have decisions that you need to make. Yeah. First one is re-evaluating what you have in terms of your salary cap. Is it feasible to go out and make a trade? Number two, what do you have down in Providence, down in the minors, that you can call up and begin to experiment? Because frankly, the whole idea of playing Charlie Coyle on the wing is really driving me insane now.
Oh, yeah.
Because he is better suited as your third line center. What exactly is so hard to understand? Leave him be at that spot.
He's proven himself there. So, you know, that's the other thing I don't get with Sweeney is when some of the moves that he's making, and, you know, you've got guys that are, he is a natural center.
Right.
Why would you put him on a wing?
It makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
Yeah.
You know, you're not trying to, you're forcing the guy to do something he's not, and it's never going to work.
Yeah.
That's the problem. I mean, these guys play their position all through their youth, their minors, and everything else. That's the position they've played. That's the position they know. That's
right.
The position they should be playing.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have a spot for them, you know, if you've got you got four other centers that are better than them.
Yeah.
Then put them down, do something with them, but don't try to force them, because you know what? When anything you force is just always going to be crap.
Oh, for sure. And it's interesting because I do wonder, because I know at one point we did have Urho Vaakanainen up at one point this season.
Mm-hmm.
And I do wonder how much of a difference does he make, because the defenseman core is not even really an issue at this point of the season. Like, they've actually played pretty well as a unit. The McAvoy, obviously Char,
yeah,
Krug, Carlos taking a big step forward this year. Yeah. And so has Matt Grzelcyk as well.
Right.
So my thing is, the number one concern for Nas Sweeney has got to be, what are you going to do to address the top six? Because who is going to play on Krejci's side? Because I'm telling you, if you think that putting Coyle there is going to be the answer, I'm sorry, you now have a deficiency on that third line. You have who's going to play that third line center? Don't tell me you're going to try to put anyone there, because that's not going to work.
Exactly.
You know,
leave Coyle and go find some wings. That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
And people that gel and move good with Krejci. Okay? I mean, your top line, you don't need to touch.
For
you know,
sure.
maybe you move it around just a little bit. Someone gets hurt, God forbid, and you're just moving them around in game. But other than that, leave it. But you know what? Even if you don't do anything with Krejci, use Krejci.
Exactly.
Use him as trade bait.
You'll be willing to use Krejci as trade bait at this point?
Not at this point. I mean, it would have been done. Should have been done if you were going to do it
a year ago.
Exactly.
Right.
But not now. But you. These are all things that you've even last year. This still was an issue. You had no one on either side of Krejci last year.
Right. With the exception of DeBrusk. DeBrusk, yeah, like he showed up in spots in the playoffs, but the truth is, you need more than just that. That's not going to be enough.
Yeah, not if you want to do the whole season.
Right.
No.
Or even make another deep, sustained run in the playoffs.
That's right.
You know, but we're going to take a break for 2 minutes, and then we'll come back for our final thoughts. You're listening to the Shook Me Right Show. This is Shook Me Right. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford, Tufts, Free Farm Radio. Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show here on 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Dust Free Farm Radio. I know you're wondering, what jingle is that? And I'm like, listen, that is the theme song for PNC Bank commercial. Remember that commercial from like a few years back?
No.
Oh, man. YouTube it. I'm serious. The jingle is so relaxing over whatever reason.
Oh, it is definitely relaxing.
Because you look sleepy as hell, and I'm like...
I'm sitting in the chair just relaxing.
Oh, gosh. But final thoughts, just quickly. Boston, I hope you're ready for a roller coaster ride for the next couple of months, because this whole Brady talk is going to either make you stressed or just drive you mad. And I hope you're ready for it, because I'm already hitting that point, but I'm going to try to mentally power my way through it. Your thoughts?
Same thing. But you know what? I don't know what to say, because you're going to, you know, what really caught me the other day is, I think it was a couple of people reporting it, that people are actually out burning Brady shirts.
Oh, God.
And I'm thinking, is that really where we've come to now? And you said this is going on for a couple of months now.
Yeah.
You know, let's see what happens. Let's see what starts happening.
Oh.
You know, once people start not hearing what the situation is, more and more they're going to get disgruntled. More and more they're going to start burning.
Exactly. And the more irrational thoughts and decisions they're going to make. But thank you, as always, for coming in. We're definitely doing this again real soon.
My pleasure.
And thank you for all of you that tuned in to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. Coming up next, we have another show coming up. What's your show? Skybar. Coming up next. That's coming up next.